So the word I'd like to preach today is the baptism of the soul. And it does continue from what we were sharing last week about the river. And we were speaking about how we have different depths to reach in the river of God, from the book of Ezekiel, how the river flows, and we're up to our ankles, and then we get up to our knees, and up to our waist, and there's a sense of resistance, but that flow is God's life. That's what's flowing. And you think, well, what is that river flowing to? What does that river affect? Well, last week, we used the typology that was in the book of Ezekiel. It was our ankles, it was our knees, and it was our waist, and then we were swimming in. It was all about the body, which is able to pick up the kind of force that comes against it. And so we could say, well, I can move a bit more freely, but now I can't move as freely. And that refers to the body. But really, what that's talking about is our soul. That river of life is actually what affects our soul. It's our soul that either has freedom or is swimming or is stuck. And that's the target for the river of life that the Lord has placed within us, is our soul. Let's have a look at this soul. The soul is the inner part of us that expresses what's going on in us, past, present, and whatever for the future. That's our soul. It is the part of us that expresses what it receives information from, comes through our soul. It does this through the emotions, which are good or bad, and the thoughts and imaginations. These are a function of the soul, the will, the mind, the opinions. The soul forms ideas and opinions of who we are. The soul in us, we're created in our soul to be conscious of ourself. It is our self-consciousness. It's what helps us form an opinion of who we are. What is this self? And it doesn't always get it right. So it depends on where it gets its information from, the soul. Now, there are two sources, broadly speaking, that the soul can get its information from. If you want to think of a diagram, you've probably seen this, you've got three concentric circles. The outer ridge, the outer perimeter of the circle, is like the body. And then within that, there's another inner expression of who we are, which is the soul. And then inside that, there's the spirit. Now, that's very simplistic. All that really says is that you can see the body on the outside. If you see somebody coming, you can say, oh, they're looking well today. Oh, they must have a sore foot. They're limping a bit. You can tell what's going on basically, physically, by just seeing somebody externally. You don't know what's going on in their soul. You can try and guess and say, they look happy. They may just have a smile on their face. They may be daydreaming. You just don't know what's going on in a person's soul. And the person themselves may not be quite sure. But even deeper than that, there's the spirit. And that's where it's very difficult to know what is going on there if a person lives at a surface level, because that has to be touched. And that's where the river is, the river of life. So we've got two sources generally that I've just mentioned. Now, let me make them a bit more particular. So the first source of what our soul will express is from what we see and experience on the outside of our senses. So this is a processing system. And what we see and experience on the outside is actually what we would call real life as we see it. It's relational, who we're relating to in our lives. It's cultural, how we were taught, how we perceive things, kind of opinions that are formed in us. It can be circumstantial, what's happening right now. And the soul can express shock or fear, reaction. It can express spontaneous joy and laughter. It depends on what's going on. Sadness. These things come through the soul. Now then, there's what we receive from the inside with our spirit, and that's a deeper level. There are spiritual things that we can receive and yet not understand. David spoke about the law of God, the commandments. He said, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It restores my soul." It did something for him. Now that was cultural, it was religious, but it was also spiritual. And he just loved that law. He would want to live in it because it touched something. It's a spiritual thing. It was God proclaiming who he was and his wisdom in a person's life. But as much as David tried, he wouldn't be able to obey that law fully. Because while the law was spiritual, Paul says for David and all of us later on, but I am carnal, I'm soulish. And what the law couldn't do, achieve in me to fully make my soul come in alignment with God, only Jesus could have done that by planting something in my spirit that only came when Jesus died on the cross and rose again and sent his Holy Spirit. So the soul can pick up spiritual things, but for thousands of years there wasn't the capacity to be able to flow in the fullness of the life of what was there being expressed from the Spirit, from our own spirit. So that's a deeper level. This is where the river of life is now in us. It is deeper than the soul. It is in the spiritual level. It wasn't always like that. We'll have a look at the scriptures. Once all mankind had was a soul and a spirit, but a human spirit. That's all humanity had, ever, until Jesus. So, talking about the river, we can measure how deep we are in the river of life. Ankles, knees, waist, are we pushing, are we standing, are we flowing? By what's happening in our soul. I've had people say to me through the week, I wonder where I am in the river. Am I in my up to my knees? Sometimes I feel like I'm in my knees, up to my knees, up to my waist. And that's a good question. But that is something that is measured by what is happening in our soul. That's where the resistance is. That's where the will is able to choose. That's where what we did today in church, we blessed the Lord with our soul. You can get into the flow in the soul. The Word of God in the New Testament uses the soul as the expression of how our life is going. Come to me, all you are burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you'll find rest for your soul. That's where the rest comes. Jesus gives rest for the soul. So depending on what is informing the soul is how we feel about life. It is the measure of how we're processing our lives, whether spiritually or soulishly. It's not complicated. So where does the river come from? When did the river begin to flow? In John chapter 4, Jesus said to the woman at the well, "But the water that is my spirit that I will give will become in you a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." That was prophetic. That had not yet come, had not hit humanity. In 1 Peter 1 verse 9, he speaks about the trials of faith and he says, receiving the end or the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. Your soul gets in alignment. It gets into harmony with God. That's called the righteousness of God. That's where our faith's taking us. As Satan should buffet, we have this anchor in the soul. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, it says, "Wait for God. Don't throw away your confidence. Wait for him, because he'll come. And he'll be there, he won't be late. But don't draw back. If anyone draws back, my soul can have no pleasure in him." And I'm thinking, oh, does that mean he's upset? No, it simply means my soul can't enjoy and share joy with that soul because it's drawing back from me. That's all he's saying. I want to enjoy that pleasure of being one together, my joy shared with the joy of that soul. So if anyone draws back, my soul can't share in that joy. And then the next sentence is, however, we are not like those who draw back, but we are like those, or we are those who believe to the saving of the soul. God wants you to be able to say, it's well with my soul. May not be well with your circumstances. May not be well in the relationships. May it be not be well with your physical body. And your soul and your imaginations can be tormenting you. There's an answer. There's a better source of information than what those things are telling you. Even your own imagination, your own mind, your own worry about the future. Your own regrets about the past can torment your soul. It's information from experience. The soul can get drawn into expressing anything at random, can get hijacked, can get caught. All of a sudden, a person's in reaction. You think, oh no, and it's like a runaway train. And the soul is on its own little journey. It says, oh, come on, back. Our life, in fact, I was thinking of this last week about, I was watching some movies, like a series. I'd saved three. And I thought, I want to watch these things. And I had an idea of where the plot was going. It was about a woman who was fighting in the Middle East, and she was part of a team of soldiers, and there was a conspiracy against them. And all of these plots were interweaving, and she had a great character. I thought, this person's got courage, she's honest, she wants to do the right thing by the country. And I was thinking, yeah, I know what's going to happen, but I don't know, after two or three series, I said to Tinica, I feel like getting those scriptwriters together and shaking them and saying, what are you people doing to this story? It's getting confusing. I think, hang on, that's like me. What am I doing to the story of this character that you've got here, that you've got a purpose and a destiny for? And I'm making this crazy movie out of it. Who's writing the script here? My imagination? Reactions? Our life can be like a confusing movie. Or it can be like a purposeful story with meaning and intention. The same challenges, the same obstacles, but who's in charge of the script? God said to David in Psalm 139, I've written your life in my book. Everything's there. Before anything is done, I've written it. God's writing a script for your life. And the movie that we write can just get so confusing. I'm not saying it's always bad. It can be good. I mean, you can get it right. You can have great fun. You can have a... Today, this was a great episode. Your soul can be jumping around. That's fine. But then all of a sudden, it can get hit by what might go wrong. And why did that go wrong yesterday, etc., etc. And that's what grabs people's lives. That's how people live in the world of the soul, in this life, on this planet, day after day. And they will respond and react to the information that's coming in and driving them to react to this, respond to that, fight this, run away from that, escape, get angry, whatever. Do you know what we can do? Here is a shortcut. It needs practice. You walk out of the movie. Just walk out. So, paid for this, and I'm not going to watch this anymore. And I thought, well, where do you go? Well, it says in Hebrews, wait for him, he won't be late, don't draw back, because you can believe to the saving, the shaping, the quietening, the transformation of your soul into expressing who you really are, my character that I've written in my book that's you. You can get that flowing in your life. So I thought, well, okay, how do I do that? So supposing you're sitting in a movie and you're looking at a movie and you're thinking, wow, this is gripping me, this movie. And your phone goes off and you get a text. I'll be there soon. Meet me in the lobby. And you think, oh, I've been waiting to catch up with you. And I'm saying, right, this is God. Right. And you think, oh, well, okay, if you're going to be there soon, I think I'll just watch the rest of the movie. And I'll see you later. And God says, yeah, but I could be there any moment. Or I could be half an hour. I could be there in 5 minutes. Oh, I can't stop watching this. This is great. That's what life does to you. You get stuck in the movie, whether you like it or not. You want to know what the ending's going to be. It's intriguing, the movie of your life and my life. It's confusing. It can be tormenting. If I hook or by a crook, I'm going to see this through. I'm going to write something in here and I'm going to get on the phone. I'm going to put this thing on. And the movie starts, and another scriptwriter comes in then. And it goes silly again. So best thing is walk out of the movie. Go into the lobby and sit there. No movie. Where's that person that's coming to meet me? They're not there. What am I doing? Be still. Don't do anything but wait. He will come. And he will bring life to your soul. That takes practice. You can walk out of the movie anytime. It's good to practice it daily. For a span of time, just get out of the movie and wait for God, and he will come. From the depths of your spirit will flow the river. And you will become a person that is used to getting out of that movie and back into the presence of God, because he is there. It's not like he's not there. The fact is, it's our head that's not there. It's our soul that is restlessly not present. But when we sit and wait, it seems boring and it seems like it's passive, and it is not passive. It is active faith. That God is at work in the world of the unseen and he's coming to restore your soul in a life-giving way. Now, just want to give some backdrop to this. So what was the deepest level of humanity before the river began to flow? Going back in history now. Before Jesus, humanity was a living soul. Of course they had a spirit. Humanity always had a spirit. But it was hidden. God had placed eternity in the hearts of humanity. Ecclesiastes 3:11. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So, there was a place there in our spirit, in our heart, where God was able to come and meet with people. And he did that right throughout the Old Testament. The connection was always there, but there wasn't the oneness with God. He didn't join his spirit to ours. He would come and speak to people. He would reveal himself to people in his time and in his way. So there was a God connection always for humanity, for Enoch and Noah and Moses and Abraham and David. It was always there for God to touch them and to speak to them. But he didn't live there. He didn't live there. People have said to me, oh, it's going to be good when we're made perfect. We're going to be just like Adam was before he fell into sin. No, we weren't. Adam didn't have the Spirit of God living within. He had his spirit and he had a soul. I'll read it to you now. We're going beyond that. Jesus was the first human to be not just a soul, but a life-giving spirit. Let me read it to you. 1 Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written. The first man, Adam, became a living soul. That's all. Yeah, because he had a spirit, but he was a living soul. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the soulish. It says the earthly, same word as the soulish, or the natural. The spiritual is not first, but the natural. And the word for natural, look it up in the Bible, is psychikos, soulish. And afterwards, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of soil. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of soil, that's Adam, so also are those who are soilish. You can live a soilish life. You can live in the soul. Soulish and soilish, same thing. It says they're earthy. Soilish. People can live their entire life in the whatever the soul wants to get hijacked into having to do. They can do some pretty good things. But its information is sus. Unless it's getting information from the Spirit. So, as was the man of soil, so also are those who are soilish. And as is the heavenly man, that's Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have worn, you wear it, the likeness of the man of soil, let us wear the likeness of the heavenly man. We can either be like the soilish, surface level, soul person that Adam was, with all the good intentions, you can do some great things, and you can love the law like David did. You can want spiritual things, but you can be wearing the surface reactions. Let's wear the likeness of the heavenly. Now, Jesus gave humanity his life-giving spirit. You are no longer of the soil. You are no longer a living soul. Well, you've got a soul, but that's not what describes you. You now are a life-giving spirit, if you choose to be. That's why I'm calling this the baptism of the soul. If you choose to be a life-giving spirit, you let your soul sink into the river of life. And you can measure how far that soul is in, whether it's up to its ankles, its knees, or its waist, or whether it's swimming, by what's coming out of your soul or out of your life. And you'll know it. You'll feel it. And it is frustrating and confusing. And the thing is, you can't make your soul any better. You can just receive what the soul needs to know from the Spirit of God. That's a walk in the Spirit. Anybody can do it. You think, yeah, but my soul's in a mess. God says, I've got mercy on that soul. I've saved that. All I'm doing is connecting you to me. I've done the work. The sins are forgiven. Jesus joined divinity to humanity. Jesus was God. God became his own creation. The soul could not evolve into being a godly person and being in total alignment with the life of God. It could get visits, but God and humanity were not one until Jesus became one with humanity. When he died and planted that life, what grew up was humanity now with that life. That's why he had to die. That's why we're having Easter next Sunday, and we're going to celebrate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of that life. And when he went to heaven, he said, let's send the Holy Spirit and turn people, humanity, from being a living soul, let's turn them into life-giving spirits. And that became the gospel. When Jesus got baptized, John came up to him and wanted to baptize him. Jesus says, I want to be baptized. And John said, oh, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, I've got something to fulfill here. That's right. I'm going to bring you into alignment. I'm going to bring humanity into alignment with God completely, into harmony, spirit, soul, and body. So I'm going to go down into those waters, and it's going to be a picture. My baptism is a picture of a new kind of baptism. Not just what you're doing, John, just for the remission of sins. My baptism is going to bring the power of the Holy Spirit into people's lives. In other words, it's actually my baptism is prophesying the picture of what they are going to go into to begin to walk, not just as living souls, but as life-giving spirits. And they're going to get baptized. They'll do it once. If it doesn't, they don't know what they're doing the first time, they can come around again and say, now I know what baptism is, or and get baptized again. But knowing that what they're doing is they are confirming in their spirit, they're speaking to their soul is speaking to their own spirit and saying, bring forth life, O my spirit. Join to the life of God. Let the story get on track. That's what righteousness is. Let the story of my life get on track. Let me plunge into the river, not just my body. That's what it will look like. But baptize my soul. And that will be a great occasion. But Jesus wanted them to know that it wasn't just going to be that one-off experience. Every day of their lives, they're going to dip their soul into where the river flows. Into where God and man have become one. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, when Jesus had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. He then began to move in his ministry, supernaturally, from that moment. That's when he overcame the devil. That's when he defeated the enemy. That's when he began to bring the healing. That's Jesus was reconciling or turning humanity into divinity by living it within himself and then waiting for the moment when he could plant that life like a seed. It wasn't going to abide alone. It was going to go down and it was going to bring up the humanity that could now access the life of God and become the story of God in the earth. And that's your destiny. It's not hard work. It's not trying to make your soul get its act together. The church can tell you to do that, and you can try as hard as you like. You can try and obey every commandment that's in front of you. You have all the good intentions, but unless you tap into the river of life, you're dry. Get wet. Get wet. And it's waiting. It's in the lobby. Walk out of the movie. He'll come. What sort of a price is that to pay? Boy, that's nothing. What shall a man give if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What's the point of living a life just for yourself? If you lose that life, you'll save it. If you get the Spirit, if you get the river, you're in and you're on your way. There's no regrets. There's just the hope of the glory of God waiting. And that's the baptism of the soul. Let's just pray. Thank you, Lord, for being the baptizer of our soul, giving us new life, guiding us, speaking to us, informing us, encouraging us, giving us your peace and your joy, everlasting. In Jesus' name.